But after the birth experience I went through with my traumatic C-section, I was extremely concerned about breastfeeding. I thought that if my body had failed me and my baby during birth, then why wouldn't it do the same for breastfeeding? Welcome to the podcast where we get into the real and raw of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. My name is Hannah Gill. I'm a VBAC mom, doula, and birth educator. And I help women discover their options and harness their inner power to have the experiences they desire. I'm here to support you through the ebbs and flows of these transformative years so we can have open and honest conversations about the hard, the messy, and the beautiful parts of motherhood. This is the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. I am so happy that you're back for another episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about breastfeeding and specifically my two breastfeeding experiences so far. I have had two very different and wonderful experiences, so I thought it would be important to share them with you so that maybe you can either they can help you prepare for breastfeeding or maybe you can relate to them as far as how your breastfeeding journeys have gone. So let's get into it. How do I have a VBAC? This is a question I get asked a lot. Women will message me and say, I know I want to have a VBAC, but I have no idea how to prepare or how to find the resources. Well, that's exactly why I created my first steps to VBAC guide. It's called Preparing for a VBAC, your first three steps to an empowered birth experience. This is the guide you need if you're thinking, I don't know how to go about finding a supportive provider, or I'm not sure how to understand or process my C-section experience. If you have had questions about these things and you're wondering if you're on the right track, then you need to download this guide. I want you to go to ebbandflowbirthco.com/first-steps, all one word, FIRSTSTEPS, or click the link where you're listening to this episode now. I know that getting started with VBAC prep and finding support is something a lot of women are struggling with, and I want you to have a solid foundation for your VBAC prep journey because it doesn't have to be such a stressful process. So again, go to ebbandflowbirthco.com/first-steps to grab this free guide today. When I got pregnant with Hudson, I immediately knew I wanted to breastfeed. I never even considered formula as an option because I just knew that breastfeeding was what I wanted to do. And I wasn't against formula if I ended up needing to use it. But to me, biologically and physiologically, breastfeeding is the best option and formula is available as an alternative if it's needed. So my plan was to breastfeed, and I took a breastfeeding class through the hospital I was giving birth at. And that was basically the extent of my research and preparation for breastfeeding. I set a goal in my mind of 6 months, and then I would reevaluate at that point. But after the birth experience I went through with my traumatic C-section, I was extremely concerned about breastfeeding. I thought that if my body had failed me and my baby during birth, then why wouldn't it do the same for breastfeeding? I was extremely relieved and so happy when Hudson immediately nursed well without any issues. His first nursing session was actually about 45 minutes, and that was all while Scott was helping him nurse during the recovery period after my C-section. So he did great right away, thankfully. And breastfeeding for us was truly such an amazing experience. In such a perfect way for us to bond and form a relationship together after the birth experience that we went through. Several weeks after he was born, he started to get extremely gassy and constipated. And when he pooped, it had some mucus and blood in it. And my grandma had actually recommended to take him to the chiropractor to help him with the gassiness. And we had never been to a chiropractor before, and I thought she was crazy for suggesting taking a baby to a chiropractor, but it was such a good decision and it helped so much For those of you that are local to the Indianapolis area, Living Hope Chiropractic in Greenwood is where I go and where I have taken the children. It's phenomenal for pregnancy and children and families in general, so I highly recommend them. But because of the blood and the mucus in his stool, it was determined that he may have had a milk protein allergy. So I decided to cut out all dairy products, and this included anything with milk protein in it, not just obvious dairy like milk and cheese. So for babies that have a true milk protein allergy, you have to cut out like all the hidden dairy too. So you really have to read your labels. You would be shocked at what contains dairy, like milk protein. Even some wines and other alcohols have milk protein, like the casein in it. It made a dramatic difference. But then around 6 months, we actually ended up getting him officially tested because he began breaking out in rashes if he was exposed to dairy. Then around 8 months postpartum, I got my period back and my milk supply absolutely tanked. I was already back at work by this point. I went back to work after 12 weeks. So I was pumping, and when my supply went down, I was only pumping enough milk for the next day. And to me, that felt extremely stressful. And I just couldn't keep up with how much he was drinking each day. So at that point, around that 8 month, 9 month mark, we decided to start supplementing with formula. We did a mixture of nursing when I was with him and then formula bottles when I was at work up until he was about a year old. And at that point, he was pretty much done. He was over it. He didn't really have an interest in nursing anymore because of the supplementing. And he just had that mixture as well as adding solids. And so the limited time I was able to spend nursing him, it didn't really make too much of a difference. He was just kind of over it. It made me really sad though. And we weaned shortly after his first birthday. So that was my breastfeeding experience with him. It was great. It was wonderful. I loved breastfeeding. It was such a perfect bonding experience for us. And not to say that breastfeeding is not stressful. Like, obviously breastfeeding is stressful, but overall we had an amazing experience and I had looked forward to doing it again with a second. So the second time around with Marley, I again planned to breastfeed. She also nursed extremely well right away with no major issues, except she had a bit of a like clicking sound when she nursed and milk would leak out of her mouth. So I could tell that she didn't have a great latch. She also had the same symptoms that Hudson did as far as the milk protein allergy went. So I just went ahead and cut out dairy, and her symptoms greatly resolved after doing that, except she did continue to have some reflux. Around 8 weeks or so, she actually stopped gaining weight. And at one point, she was actually losing weight, which was pretty concerning. My pediatrician, of course, recommended supplementing with formula because if you're not aware, pediatricians are not specialized in lactation and breastfeeding usually. Their main concern is for you to have a healthy growing baby that meets growth chart standards and meets milestones. So if you are needing specific breastfeeding advice and support, please go to an international board certified lactation consultant or lactation specialist and not your pediatrician. They can give some general guidance, but as far as specific breastfeeding support, they won't be able to do that. To me, it did not feel right in my gut to supplement at this time. I knew Marley's latch wasn't the greatest, so I began working with an IBCLC to address the issue. And she had mentioned that there was likely some ties, so a tongue tie and a lip tie, and potentially GERD. She could not obviously like officially diagnose ties. Many IBCLCs cannot make that diagnosis. You have to work with a special pediatric dentist. So we did do some evaluation with a dentist, and we found out that she had both a tongue and a lip tie. So around 3 months postpartum, 3 months of age, we were able to get those revised. And that whole process was heartbreaking and extremely difficult to watch. But she did begin gaining weight back right away after her ties were revised with no more latch issues. My period again came back right around 8 months. But this time I had no supply issues. My supply was absolutely fine. And at the time of this recording, we are about 14 months in and still breastfeeding. She is a boob addict, so I don't see herself weaning anytime soon. So I'm just taking it day by day and seeing how we both are doing. I also want to mention that it's a lot harder, not harder, but it's a lot different of an experience to breastfeed a second when you have a toddler as well. When it's your first, it's just like this one-on-one, like calm experience usually, unless you're having some major issues, but it's just one-on-one and all the attention is on each other. But when you have a toddler or other children around, that is not the case. So Marley, as her breastfeeding experience has been a little bit more chaotic. Sometimes that involves Hudson climbing all over us or like screaming in the background. But there have been obviously those one-on-one nighttime feeds, which have been great, or when Hudson's not around. And then I also hear a lot about weight loss with breastfeeding and so many women being concerned with losing their pregnancy weight postpartum while they're breastfeeding. With Hudson, I did not lose a pound after the first week postpartum. I didn't gain, but I also didn't lose. With Marley, I lost 60 pounds by 7 months postpartum. And then as we introduced solids and she wasn't nursing as much, I started to gain back a little bit of weight. So I have not lost any more. I've actually gained a little bit back, but I did lose a drastic amount those first 7 months. So please do not feel discouraged if you are not losing weight or if you are gaining weight while you're breastfeeding, because all of the above are possible. You could lose weight, you could gain weight, you could stay the same. And please do not go on some sort of crazy diet or work out with extreme intensity to lose the weight, because you're likely going to hurt your supply by doing so. And I'm not a lactation consultant, I'm not a nutritionist, but it takes a lot of whole, nutritious, calorie-dense foods to support your own body and your milk supply at the same time. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just don't do it, because you're going to hurt your supply by doing so. You may lose some weight, you may not, I don't know, but you need to be eating plenty of food, probably more than you realize, to sustain your supply. And really the most important thing to remember for maintaining a healthy supply is that nursing your baby as much as possible will be the ultimate factor. It's supply and demand. That's how breastfeeding works. So if you go longer times between nursing or shorten your nursing sessions, your supply may take a hit. That's why when people try to get really, really young newborns sleeping through the night right away, their supply can be affected because their babies are sleeping and they're not nursing as much as they should be. So without any major issues, the more you nurse, the better your supply will be. Let's talk about pumping for a minute. Pumping was something I did not prepare for ahead of time, other than just buying the pump. So my advice for pumping, I did not exclusively pump, but I pumped when I went back to work, is do your research on the best pump options for you. And for me, getting a pump that could be charged and run on a battery made it so much easier to pump at work or to pump on the go, or if I'm like pumping and like chasing around Hudson, I could carry the pump. Some people use like the hand-free pumps that you can put in your bra. I wasn't a fan of those. So I didn't end up getting one. I heard a lot of negative things and then some positive things, but also educate yourself on pumping and how to properly measure and pick a flange size. So having the right flange size can drastically change how much milk you are able to pump. If you have one that's too big or too small, it can not only damage your nipples, but it can affect your output. Seek help, obviously, from an IBCLC if you have any questions or concerns with pumping or breastfeeding. And then one of my biggest tips is to get a supportive nursing / pumping bra. So the first one I got was just one of those like strapless, like basic, I think it was Medela brand, I'm not entirely sure, pumping bras, and it was not supportive. It did not stay up. The pump basically didn't even like stay on. So after that, I always got Kindred Bravely bras. Their BFF hands-free pumping and nursing bra is my absolute favorite. I wear it almost every day when I was pumping. I'm not pumping anymore, but it's the best. And because I've always used their products and recommended them to people, I did become an affiliate this year. And if you want to see what they have, they have everything from bras to pants. I have their joggers, t-shirts, anything you can want as far as maternity and postpartum clothing. You can go to ebbandflowbirthco.com/kindredbravely to see what all they have to offer and if there's anything that you would like to get for your breastfeeding and pumping journey. All right, that wraps up today's episode. If you have any questions about my breastfeeding experiences or you would like to share yours, DM me over on Instagram and we can chat. I will see you all next week. You just finished another episode of the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. For more, head over to ebbandflowbirthco.com or on Instagram at ebbandflowbirthco. As a reminder, this podcast is provided to you for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not a substitute for medical advice. Until next time, bye friends.